The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. You just heard the breaking news in Aaron Granillo's newscast. Let's continue with our breaking news coverage here on The Dory Monson Show. And The Big Lead.
The Big Lead.
There we go.
Breaking news.
All right, so Hannah Scott joins us. We just found out that the six Seattle police officers who went back to Washington, D.C. for, they say, a rally on January 6th, two of them have been found violating the law. They were inside a fenced-off area close to the Capitol, and since they were so close in proximity to the nation's capital, the oversight group, the oversight committee for the Seattle Police, they're recommending that there be these two officers be relieved of their duty. Hannah Scott joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. So, Hannah, we're just getting this information as we speak this hour. What can you tell me about the findings?
So they've looked into 6 months long in this investigation, looking at all six of the officers who were known to be in Washington, D.C. during this rally that turned into the insurrection. And what they were specifically looking for was whether they violated law by attending the Trump rally, which was the Stop the Steal rally about the election, and then whether they also then violated SPD department policy in doing that. So in three of the cases, the evidence that they found cleared the officers. In a fourth, they suspected that perhaps that the person was trespassing, but they couldn't prove it one way or the other, so it was inconclusive. And then the two, a male and female officer, they did find that they had, in fact, broken the law, the Washington, D.C. law, by being in that restricted area near the Capitol. And also that they were not credible. They were not being honest. And the whole investigation started off with the OPA talking, interviewing the officers individually two different times. And their stories changed throughout that. And then basically they said that they hadn't seen anything illegal activity at all. And then the FBI ended up giving them these still photos of video. And that clearly shows that they're right next to the wall of the Capitol, and there's people scaling the walls and all of that chaos that we saw on national TV unfold that shows all kinds of illegal activity. So they weren't honest about that. And for that, they could face another OPA investigation.
Okay. And so the photo you just described that came from the video, the officers weren't scaling the walls. They weren't on the steps of the Capitol. They were, as it's described in the press release that we're all just getting now, they were smiling while in close proximity to the Capitol. And behind them, there were what's being described as rioters lining the steps, climbing the walls, and the scaffolding around the Capitol. So, OPA, do they release with this a recommendation of what happens to these officers?
They do, and they recommend that they be terminated.
So, and it says here, any discipline for the two employees who trespassed must be determined by the chief of police. However, as Hannah just said, the discipline committee with OPA recommends the employment of both officers be terminated. Now, we've not heard from the Seattle Police Officers Guild yet. I'm expecting to talk to Mike Solon live a little bit later this hour. But are you getting any indication on how they're going to fight this from a union perspective?
I've not. I know that the Seattle Police Guild had pushed back pretty heavily during this investigation about the order for the OPA had issued an order for all of these officers to turn over various documents, you know, hotel receipts, cell phone, text messages, emails, all of those types of things. What they were trying to do was verify where they were and when they were there to determine whether or not they were inside that Capitol building or, you know, taking part in the actual insurrection. And SPOG didn't want them to do that and went so far as to go kind of do an end run past OPA and go to the police chief and say, hey, let's make it so we don't have to do this. Chief Diaz declined, and it became kind of a big tug of war between them. But in the end, all but one of the officers actually turned over those documents. And that one officer who did not, he ended up being cleared in the investigation about January 6th, but now faces another investigation for insubordination and not complying with the OPA investigation.
And I would imagine, just from a legal standpoint, that that's a very fine line, because when the department says you have to turn over your emails, your text messages, your personal phones, pictures you might have taken, we do have constitutional protections mm-hmm. against anything that self-incriminates. And so for them to say we as a department are demanding something that you could claim Fifth Amendment, I choose not to incriminate myself, protections against, I would imagine that's a very fine line throughout this whole investigation and then whatever discipline the SPD finally decides to impose on these cops.
Well, and certainly, and I think what I had read was that Mike Solon, the head of the union, who you will be talking to later, had said it's in there. It's contractually, there was some argument that he was making that they shouldn't have to comply with this type of an order. So how that plays out and who's on the right side of that, we'll have to see. I know the OPA firmly believes that they were on the right side of that. And I will also say it's not just OPA who recommended the termination. While Chief Diaz is kept out of this until he gets to make his overall decision, the immediate chain of commands of these officers also looked at all of the evidence that OPA had and agreed that these two officers should be terminated.
So you said three of the officers voluntarily turned over their text messages, pictures. One did not. Is that right? Among the four who appear to have been exonerated?
Of all six, only one did not. Some were kind of dragging their feet. In the end, five okay. did, one did not.
So the two who they're recommending be fired, they did ultimately turn over
yes.
their personal private information. So did they do that thinking that their honesty, they're being upfront, showing the pictures? I mean, they must have known if they were inside a restricted area that might cost them their jobs. I'm very curious.
But their claim is that they did not know that it was a restricted area. Yeah. And that's a big part of this investigation, because OPA ended up going out to D.C. and interviewing the Metropolitan Police there, as well as the Capitol Police there, and trying to determine if there's any way that even an average person, let alone a law enforcement officer, could have been in that restricted area and not be aware that they were in a restricted area. And they said absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the special agent in charge of the Capitol Police there said that they thought that these two officers should be prosecuted for trespassing. But the fact is that there's so many other prosecutions going on from those who went into the building
yeah.
that there's just not the resources to do so.
It's really interesting. I'm sure you've been hearing the same thing, Hallie. I've heard two wildly divergent points of view on this. And one is that, of course, police officers have to be above reproach. They have to, you know, abide by the law, maybe to an even higher standard than any of the rest of us. And then I've heard from a bunch of people who have said, so they went inside a fence, but they didn't go inside the Capitol. That doesn't sound like a fireable offense. And I mean, and I say both of these perspectives just because I'm guessing we're going to hear some pretty tremendous emotion from both ends of the spectrum on this.
Yeah, I think you absolutely will. Look, there's going to be a good portion of people who are absolutely outraged that not all six of these officers were recommended to be fired just simply for being there. But I want to point out that the director of the OPA, Andrew Meyerberg, I spoke to him last night, he really wanted to make clear that what they were investigating as OPA was the conduct, not the speech, not the ideology, not the protected assembly of these officers. So that wasn't about, you know, looking in and busting them for having gone to this rally. That's their right. They can do so. The legality here is the fact that they were trespassing, and that is against the law on the U.S. Capitol grounds.
Yeah. And in fact, just to reinforce what Hannah was just saying, I mean, here's exactly what they say in the statement that they just released. They said, the officers' attendance was protected by the First Amendment, and they were entitled to assemble and exercise their freedom of expression. I'm glad to see that, because I think it'd be outrageous to try to restrict, you know, what was protected political speech by just attending a rally. We had a lot of people who were attending rallies in downtown Seattle that devolved into riots over the last year. And nobody suggested that any of them be restricted from exercising their freedom of speech by attending those things. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that this wasn't a, let's get all six of these guys.
No, and in fact, Andrew Meyerberg, OPA director, specifically brought up your point that you just made about the protests and all of the things that we saw right here. He said that would be the same thing. You'd see that same kind of argument if we did that here, and that's not what this is about. And he feels very strongly, as does OPA as a whole, that you want to protect the democracy and the constitutional rights, because it's the same on both ends, right? If you're going after any illegal activity that was involved in this insurrection to protect our democracy, you got to do it on the other side too.
Okay. Last thing, you said that the two that they're recommending be fired, a man and a woman. Do they have any personal relationship between the two of them, the man and the woman who they're recommending be fired?
I don't know that. It's not in the report. I do know that they were together that entire day, so they were there together. But that's the best I could tell you.
Okay, got it. All right, Hannah, great stuff. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me.
My pleasure.
All right, Hannah Scott covering the breaking news. So once again, if you're just joining us, the Seattle Office of Police Accountability has just released its findings. Six Seattle police officers attended the rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th after an exhaustive investigation that was very expensive as well, because they flew a lot of these OPA members back to D.C. to do interviews back there. But after the investigation, they found that two of the officers were inside a restricted area. Those two officers say they did not know it was restricted. It was an area that had been fenced off, but they were not inside the U.S. Capitol. But they say they're cops, they ought to know what's restricted, and they broke D.C. law by being inside restricted areas. So those are the two that they're recommending be fired. Three of the other four, they could find no evidence, and the fourth one, it was inconclusive. And so they are not recommending the firing of any of those other four officers. But they now are now recommending the firing of two of the six Seattle police officers who were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. As always, I would love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text me at 98973. It's 98973 from the 253. Dory, have any other police agencies gone to the extreme lengths as SPD has chasing down their own officers? Well, I will tell you, SPD has been under tremendous scrutiny, going back to the federal order against them for years now. And yes, there were other police agencies around the country that went back to Washington, D.C., did interviews, talked to the FBI, tried to find if their officers were in any restricted areas. Getting tons of messages on all of this. Isn't the irony great of the police officers saying, "I didn't know I was in a restricted area," versus when I'm going 30 miles per hour in a 25 mile per hour by mistake, and the response is always, "Lack of knowledge of the law isn't an excuse to break it." I support my Mercer Island PD. They're great, but this joke defense of SPD is even better. So that's just some of the feedback that I'm getting. 360. So if being in the restricted area is not a prosecutable offense locally, why is it a fireable offense in Seattle? My guess on that, because, let's face it, when Sean Masawat let hundreds of protesters into Seattle City Hall last summer, a year ago, you could make an argument that they were all in a restricted area. You were not supposed to have a city councilwoman use her personal key to unlock the doors of City Hall at night and let in protesters. But cops are held to a higher standard. And so, I understand the point you're making, that being in restricted areas in Seattle has not been prosecuted at all for the last year and a half. Not only that, we let domestic terrorists take over several blocks of the city with Chaz and Chop. And so we have not prosecuted other people being in restricted areas, but they're always going to hold cops to a higher standard. And I will also say there are tremendous political pressures, because you know there are lots of politicians around here who just do not like police in any way. And they're the ones who have been pushing for all six of these officers to be fired merely for their presence, which would have been a gross constitutional violation. I find it hard to sit here and defend two cops who were in a restricted area that was illegal for the public to be in, because that day they were just members of the public as they were back at this rally in D.C. All right, 253. Dory professes to love the police. Unless they are protecting the Capitol and innocents inside, you are such a hypocrite. I don't understand your point. I don't know if you're saying that I'm protecting the Seattle cops or if I'm protecting... I don't understand your point. Make it a little more clearly next time you write to me, please. From the 253, leave the police alone. Pretty soon, there won't be any law enforcement to help people in need. I back the blue. And Dory, you rock. Oh, I agree with that last part. I agree with the back the blue part, too. I do. But if they have pictures lifted from video of cops in an area that was restricted from them to be in, you can't have cops doing that. Cops are under tremendous scrutiny. And we can't say, well, they were allowed to go in that restricted area because they're Seattle cops. No, they were just any other citizen that day. And so, and they weren't there in any official capacity. They weren't trying to hold the crowd back from the Capitol on that day. So anyway, keep your comments coming. It's going like a slot machine here. 206. Ridiculous, totally a witch hunt against these police officers. From the 503. Dory, this is BS. What if these cops were Democrats? Nothing would happen. I say, who the hell would want to be a cop in Seattle? No one. I say, bleep the city of Seattle. There is a tremendous double standard. And I will certainly grant you that. That if Seattle police officers went to a left-wing rally, there would be absolutely no outcry from politicians, from members of the public. There would be absolutely zero outcry for them to be fired if it was a left-wing rally in D.C. or anywhere else. So keep the comments coming. That is our breaking news coverage. I will continue to watch your comments, and that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Whew. Comments are coming in fast and furious. All right, I'll keep sifting through them. Let me know your thoughts on all of this. As OPA has recommended two Seattle police officers who were inside the restricted area fence at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, they've recommended that those two officers be fired. Your thoughts, text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. All right, following up on the breaking news this hour that Aaron was just talking about, we do have a statement now from the Seattle Police Office of Public Affairs. And if you are just tuning in, six police officers, Seattle police officers, were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Two were determined to have gone behind a fence into a cordoned off area closer to the Capitol. And OPA, Office of Police Accountability, is recommending those two Seattle cops be fired. So Seattle Police Public Affairs has released a statement acknowledging that they've received the investigation into the complaints. Chief Adrian Diaz has been clear that he will hold accountable any SPD officer involved in the insurrection, including disciplinary action up to and including termination. That could be a little problematic for Seattle police there, because what's been described of those two cops is that they have a picture of them smiling for a camera while on the wrong side of the fence. Is that being part of the insurrection? We don't know where they were before or after that photo was taken. But as far as all they're telling us right now about what they have on these two cops is they were inside a fenced-off area. But the chief says he will fire any officer involved in the insurrection, including disciplinary action up to and including termination. Due process for public personnel who hold a property interest in their employment is governed by state and federal law. And then they go over the flow chart of discipline. First, the incident occurs, which happened on January 6th. Complaint filed with OPA. Investigation completed within 180 days. Investigation complete with proposed discipline. They've done all of that now. Loudermill hearing. Chief makes final decision. Officer ability to file grievance, arbitration, and arbitrator decision. So undoubtedly these cops will file a grievance. They will seek arbitration. They will try to not get fired. But Seattle Police just wants everyone to know that while some who, I mean, we have a lot of people around here who just hate all cops. And some want swifter action, some want swift punishment for these two, some are outraged that they didn't recommend that all six be fired, which in and of itself is an outrage, because these cops have freedom of speech, just like any of the rest of us, and if they're not breaking the law, they're not breaking the law. But there are so many cop haters around here, they want swifter action against these cops. So we are expecting to talk with the head of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, Mike Solon, coming up in just about 12 minutes or so. So we'll try to grab him live. Oh, let's get some of the other news we haven't had time to touch on yet today with all of the breaking news that's been coming in. Unbelievably, there has been another injury after another rock was thrown off another overpass. And most of this is happening around where I-5 and I-90 have overpasses down just south of downtown. And this time it was a Seattle woman. She was in the inner car underneath I-90 when a rock crashed through the passenger window and she had shards of glass that went into her eye. Her name is Jackie. She's afraid to use her last name, but she talked with our news partners at Cairo 7 News and Gary Horker.
We don't know what happened, but just heard a huge explosion. I was sitting in the passenger side on the front, so the windows on my right.
Now, the car she was traveling in was westbound on I-90 after midnight on the 4th of July, approaching the I-5 merge under the Jose Rizal Bridge overhead.
Some bad guy, they threw the rock from that place.
Tiny glass shards sprayed into Jackie's eye, causing instant pain.
Because I got so hurt at the moment, and we didn't have the time to call the police. Instead, we just went to the nearby case of permanent urgent care, and the doctor helped me to remove the glass in my left eye.
And the doctor told Jackie she's extremely lucky.
Best thing out of the worst is that I wear a contact lenses at the moment. So the doctor says the lens actually protects my eyes.
The next morning, she examined the damage, and she called police.
Right window and also the rear view mirror, it just got broken, damaged completely.
You just have a bunch of mentally ill people who are coming out of these homeless encampments. And, you know, I hear from so many people, Dory, how do you know these are homeless people? Because everyone who's been spotted has been seen coming into or going out of a homeless encampment. And so that's almost undeniable at this point. But you got to get rid of these encampments. Until the loved one of a politician or a high city leader is injured or, God forbid, killed, I don't think they're going to do anything. They're going to wait until one of us gets killed, and then they still will say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. We'll put up a camera. I guarantee you, if these rocks were falling on public officials' cars, they would have done something by now about it. But, oh, man, just the idea, glass shards in her eyes, and she was wearing contact lenses. There aren't too many parts of the human body that get more painful than your eye. I've told you the story before. I was playing basketball once. I had hard contacts, and a guy flicked his finger. I was driving one-on-one, and he flicked his finger and just caught my eyeball just right, and my hard contact, it like shattered in the eye, and all the shards were cutting up my eyeball. And oh my gosh, it was a Saturday morning. an eye surgeon came in to pull them out of my eye. But, oh, my goodness, it was so painful. The thing about the eye is it heals very, very fast. But the pain at the time of the injury is just absolutely intense. So I really feel for not just that woman, but for everybody who's been a victim of these maniacs throwing rocks and rebar and shards of glass and concrete off of the overpasses around I-5. And we still have politicians say, can't sweep the homeless camps. That would be unfair. Well, what is this? When Jackie's just trying to drive up the freeway and a rock comes crashing through her car window, do you think that's a little unfair? All the innocent people who are getting injured because of this? But our politicians don't want to be unfair to the homeless. We'll just wait until they kill someone we love, and then we'll do something about it. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. Okay, let me take a quick time out here, and then we're going to try to catch up live. I know he's very busy this hour, but the head of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, Mike Solon, I was texting him. He's going to try to jump on live with us to give his reaction to OPA's recommendation the two Seattle cops in D.C. on January 6th be fired. We will continue our breaking news coverage as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, we'll try in just a couple of minutes here to catch up with Mike Solon at the Seattle Police Officers Guild. I am getting a lot of feedback from you on the cops, two of whom they've recommended, the Office of Police Accountability have recommended they be fired because they were inside a fenced-off area at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. From the 360, I thought it was supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Not guilty unless you can prove yourself innocent. They have it all backwards. And that's something that I agree with. I mean, that's been a problem from the very beginning, is that they were telling these cops, we're going to assume you're guilty unless you can show us text messages, emails, pictures that exonerates you. And that is completely backwards. And that's what people within the process said on this radio show was so backwards about this process. Now, it's interesting, too, because a bunch of people have asked this. They still have not released the name of the Capitol police officer who killed the unarmed woman who was in the Capitol, Ashley Babbitt. They still have not released the name of that cop. And from the 425, I wonder if the Capitol policeman who shot and killed unarmed Ashley Babbitt will be fired. Yeah, there has been a massive cover-up of that officer and who shot and killed an unarmed person. Because, you know, flip that around. I think that there are a lot of people around here who they don't care if Ashley Babbitt got shot and killed at the Capitol. She's obviously a right winger. Well, those wacko Trump supporters. So they don't care. But man, I tell you what, when cops, use tear gas in Seattle, fire them all. But an unarmed woman got shot in the head at the U.S. Capitol, and we still don't know anything about the identity of that police officer. And so I'm getting lots and lots of text messages, and I am I'm reading all of them, and I'll put a lot of them together in our coverage as it continues tomorrow. Okay, some of the other stuff going on in the news. Man, I got to do this as a you be the jury one of these days. A pastor in California is making all kinds of national news today because he apparently, and this is a little edited, but someone asked, is this an example of woke Christianity? Because this pastor suggests, and he does look like one of those young hipster pastors. You know, they all have the knit cap and the hip eyeglasses, and there are a lot of them running around. But he made it sound like if somebody broke into his home, he wouldn't kill them, even if that person was going to kill the pastor's family.
Hypermasculinity has hijacked the church.
Somebody breaks into our house. I don't own a gun.
you know, I have some pocket knives. I'm probably not going to use those. Somebody breaks into my house and their intent is to do harm against my family, I'm going to do everything within my power to protect my family. I will lay down my life if necessary to protect my family. And in doing so, I will not try to kill another human being. If that's what happens to me and my family, you know what? We're going to live in the new creation with Jesus forever.
Yeah, is that woke Christianity? I would not kill a home intruder. And if that means they kill my whole family, then I just trust what's coming next. Because I wouldn't kill for much, but to protect my family, I absolutely would kill for that. We have some other breaking news that's coming in this afternoon. Michael Avenatti, the lawyer that the media was drooling over, he's going to be the next president because he represented people who didn't like Donald Trump. Remember the media drooling over Avenatti? I'll play that montage in just a couple of minutes here. But we've just found out this afternoon that Michael Avenatti, the heir apparent for the White House, if you'd asked the mainstream media a year ago, he has now been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison for trying to blackmail Nike. He said that he would do things to cause Nike valuation to crash if they didn't give him money. It was a pure blackmail attempt. Michael Avenatti, he cried in court as they handed down his 2.5 year prison sentence this afternoon. So we'll talk more about that coming up tomorrow on The Big Show. But as we continue our live breaking news coverage of the Seattle officers being disciplined for being in D.C., Mike Solon is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, and he joins us live here on The Dory Monson Show. Mike, I always appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, Dory. Thanks.
All right. I know we're very limited on time here, so give me the Police Officers Guild's reaction to the OPA findings today.
Well, we're still waiting on the entire case file. And what it's telling me that the pieces of the file that we've received, there's glaring holes in the case file. And mind you, usually, more often than not, the case files that are given to us, like, say, for other investigations, they're complete. This one, oddly enough, has glaring holes in it. So I'm not sure if that's an oversight on OPA's part or there's some other shenanigans going on. I'm hoping it's the latter, that we get the full case file. And I can tell you right now, the only thing that we've weighed in publicly with this case is the fact that late in this investigation, the Office of Police Accountability purposely violated the rights, civil rights, of the officers involved in this case. And so what we did is a contractual move where we filed a grievance in terms of discrimination to the drastic, unconstitutional, unlawful overreach on behalf of the OPA.
And are you talking about them asking the officers to turn over text messages, personal photos, emails? Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And this has been our only public comment on this case at all.
When you say that there are glaring holes in what they are handing out to you and to the public, what are those glaring gaps?
Well, I'm hoping that we get those glaring gaps from OPA, but I can tell you right now, I cannot get a proper handle on this case and its trajectory, if you will, or the final decision as to why they came to this decision until I get that information. So out of respect for OPA, I'm not going to really get into what we're missing, but I can tell you that the case file is woefully incomplete.
Okay, what they're telling us, Mike, is the only thing we really need to know is that the two officers that they are recommending be fired, that they were behind a fence which placed them in a restricted area, therefore they violated the law, and as police officers, they have to be above and beyond reproach, and if they violated the law, they're going to recommend their firing. So what do you say to all that?
Well, the final purveyor of discipline is the chief of police. And it's my understanding that their laudermill, meaning these members, their laudermill hearing in front of the chief to explain their actions, is early August. So I cannot weigh in, and I'm not skirting your question, but I cannot, as the union president, weigh in with OPA's recommended findings until the chief of police has a final determination. But what I can tell you as to the shenanigans with this case is that we firmly believe that these officers were specifically investigated initially for their having a different political opinion as being City of Seattle employees. And they're specifically targeted due to that political ideology. That's why we filed the grievance.
OPA specifically tried to address that, Mike. They said that the officer's attendance, I'm reading now, the officer's attendance was protected by the First Amendment, and they were entitled to assemble and exercise their freedom of expression. So they, in writing, just tried to counterbalance what you just said is one of their weaknesses.
Well, more so, they can counterbalance all they want in written form, but their actions speak louder than words. Meaning, somebody within the city has leaked these officers' names. That occurred during the middle of this investigation, if not the beginning of this investigation. These right. officers were specifically targeted by the activist wing comprised in this city. I don't know if they're government entities or they're private citizens or they're just City of Seattle employees. Somebody leaked their information. To me, that's a stunning development in terms of their physical security. As you know, since the riots, officers' personal information, where they live, they've been doxxed numerous times. Tell me, why has there been so much fervor around getting the names of these officers? What's the purpose? If there was indeed due process in this city, then that would not be, then that would have not have been done. For the first time ever, the Office of Police Accountability used, under the threat of termination, mandating, ordering these officers to provide their personal information, such as text messages, photos, bank records, private messages between their loved ones, their significant others, their spouses, email receipts, where they dined, their hotel information, just to bolster this case. They've never done that before, Dory.
No, I understand.
Why this case, then? Why this case?
All right. Well, look, we're out of time. We're going way late. I really appreciate you jumping on with me just in the final moments here, Mike. And we'll talk more as this continues to wend its way through, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. The president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, Mike Solon, joining us live. And that is it for us. We'll have more throughout the afternoon on this breaking news case. Tom Curley Show's coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Hey,